Good morning. It's nice to be here at last. We thought we'd be here about 2 months ago, but buying houses never goes that smoothly. We thought we'd be here certainly 2 weeks ago, but it appears that even moving furniture in doesn't go that smoothly either. So we've eventually got our furniture in the house. And thank you, all of you, for praying. Thank you for the practical help, the meals, the offers of people coming to hump and dump for us. It's been wonderful. And we decided, Ruth and I, that we'll look at 4 or 5 other churches before we decide on this one. But, you know, no. We've been called to this church. We believe God said, come here. And although I'm technically retired now from leading churches, I do believe that Ruth and I are here to be amongst you and to enjoy being here. It feels really good. We went to the community group on Wednesday night and had a nice social time. So thank you, Tim and Rachel, and the guys that were there. We just feel like we belong here already, and it makes such a difference coming amongst spirit-filled believers who gather to worship Jesus and enjoy their community together, to serve Wrexham and the surrounding area. We're halfway up Hope Mountain on Kamai Village. I've been saying Kaimau, but apparently it's Kamai. So I'm doing half an hour-ish Welsh, half an hour to an hour a day, just so I can learn this, to pronounce the words, really. But I can tell you, Paul Dwee, is that right? In case you don't know who I am. And I'm told there's nobody in the church who was born in Wrexham apart from the children. So, is that true? Okay. Any Welsh speakers? Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah. So I can say anything I like. You won't have a clue what I'm saying. That's good. Oh, my torch has come on. Hang on. How did you get rid of that? Don't know how that works. I've been asked to preach on what has become, a controversial subject. Many years ago, when I was first a Christian, we were in that sort of house group, charismatic renewal thing, and people were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this was something that hadn't been heard of very much in churches. And the charismatic movement was born. Charismatic doesn't mean that you wave your hands in the air in worship. It means that your people are baptized in the Spirit and work your daily lives out of the gifts that God gives you through His Holy Spirit. And I think, for many years, we got quite complacent until about 2 years ago, and a guy in Durham was asked to present a paper to Regions Beyond on baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he was a guy who's a younger guy, very bright guy, those who know Ali up in Durham. And he presented a paper to some leaders out in Turkey when we were trying to put the values of Regions Beyond together. And he basically said he thought that we were too narrow with our view on baptism in the Spirit, and that lots of people in his generation had grown up in charismatic churches and so couldn't actually put a time and a moment on their baptism in the Spirit. They'd grown up filled with the Spirit. And so he's kind of argued against being too rigid about it. The room exploded. And the older leaders, older than me certainly, we fought a war for this, you know. And Ali's paper got looked at and taken to pieces. And now all the younger leaders in Regions Beyond are terrified of preaching in baptism in the Holy Spirit because everybody we're not sure. And I think the problem is you know, the Bible's full of words, and so often we put too much emphasis on a particular way of seeing things. So this morning I'd like us to think broadly, a bit like Ali encouraged us, but not to let go of the fact there is a moment, a discernible moment when we need that filling of the Holy Spirit for the first time. And that is discernible by everyone, including that person. And I'll come back to that in a moment. We had a couple who joined our church in Croydon many years ago, and they'd been to a couple of charismatic churches and got really scared off by baptism in the Spirit. And we used to run evenings, Holy Spirit evenings, down at the bottom of my garden with the fairies, and they came along to one, And the first thing I do is make sure everybody's baptized in the Spirit. And they were so scared. I mean, they were petrified that they were going to turn into somebody weird. Yeah, we'd got a solicitor in the church who every time the Holy Spirit moved on him, he would fly off his chair, through the chairs ahead, you know, fully booted and suited solicitor. And we don't want to be like him. And that was the worry. Yeah, we don't want to be like, there's always somebody you don't want to be like. It's usually Uncle Norman that you don't want to be like. There's always somebody you think, if that's what being baptized in the Holy Spirit's like, I do not want it. And I know today that, you know, this is a charismatic church, and just hearing people praying and leading, I know that many of you, if not all of you, are filled with God's Spirit and have been baptized in the Spirit. So I may be teaching you to suck eggs, but it's always good to put a baseline on it and say, this is what we believe, this is what we expect, this is how we live our lives. And the passage that was in the notes that Joe sent me that we were to look at today was Luke 3:3-16. So if you have your Bibles, this is the English Standard Version. I don't have a Welsh Standard Version. And even if I did, I wouldn't understand it yet. But this is Jesus, it says, this is Luke chapter 3 at verse 3. And it's the story, really, of Jesus baptizing in the Jordan and all that. Not Jesus, but you know, there being baptisms in the Jordan. And he says, and Jesus went into all the region about the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. I should feel like we should sing it. Really. And anybody knows Handel's Messiah? We could go into it right now. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to... This isn't Jesus, is it? This is John the Baptist, sorry. I jumped in too quickly. John the Baptist, because Jesus never baptized anyone in Scripture. He said, therefore, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able to make these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you're authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all by saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's where we get the term baptism in the Spirit. That Jesus, when he comes, baptizes in the Spirit. And you know, when he ascended into heaven, just before he went, he said to the risen Jesus said to the disciples, you know, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then on the day of Pentecost, did you know today is Pentecost? Yeah, our kind of churches, we don't think of those things. But in the Church of England, the Catholics and the Methodists and all that lot today, they're celebrating Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit fell and the church was born. How good is that? That when the team put this list together, we accidentally ended up with baptism of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So I fully expect that by the end of this morning, when it said on that list, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit if you've never been. Because it's what God wants for us. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were sitting in that upper room. The Holy Spirit fell. And do you remember Peter in Acts 2, is it, has to stand up and say, you know, everybody, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Something amazing was happening that caused the people around them to think they must be drunk. So baptism in the Holy Spirit isn't something that just quietly happens while you lie in your bed. there is something that happens which for some people is similar to being drunk. I know none of you will have ever been drunk or been anywhere where there are any drunk people, apart from when you go out on the streets to minister to the poor people who need it. But I sadly have been drunk, and you can tell. You can tell for about 24 hours afterwards as well. You see, that's the thing. Whenever they mention being filled with the Spirit in the Bible, there's something happens that is tangible. One of my favorite verses to try and get my head around what's going on is Ephesians 5, chapter 8, verse 18. And Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, do not get drunk on alcohol, basically, but instead be baptized, be filled, rather, with the Holy Spirit. And I think that is the key verse, actually, for what we're talking about this morning. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the word, we don't have a way of putting it into English without making it a very long sentence. An Amplified Bible probably has 6 pages with that one verse. You know, never go to a Bible study with somebody with the Amplified Bible. Read these 3 verses for us. 2 hours later, they're still reading. It's like, sorry if you like the Amplified Bible. Excuse me. So anyway, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word be filled is a Greek construction that means be filled for the first time, as it were, and go on being filled all of the time. See, when I was first a Christian and in a church where there were charismatics, they told me that the reason we had to go on being filled was because all Christians were like sieves or colanders, and the Holy Spirit filled you, and then you leaked. And so you had to go back and get prayed for again to get filled again, and then you'd go away through the week and you'd leak. And so, you know, by Sunday morning, you'd come back dry as a bone and you'd get filled again, and then you would leak. And that's what was seriously taught to me when I was first a Christian. That's not what the word means. And I spent some time trying to think of the way that we should understand that word. And the best way I can understand it is a hose pipe. And the best kind of hose pipe, actually, is a fireman's hose. I tried to get one for today. I met a fireman. I said, can you get me some fireman's hose? And he said, no, we sell that for trophies. So you can't even get fireman's hose anymore, apparently. But you know, fireman's hose, it's flat when it's on the reel. And it's cloth. It's nothing. It's floppy. And if I'd got some here, it would just be nothing. But I've seen videos on YouTube, as probably some of you have done. When you put them onto the water supply and you turn on the water, they go rigid and they fly around. And if you don't hold onto them, there's a couple of guys and they're sort of walking with them like this. The power that comes out of these hoses that shoots water hundreds of feet into the air. What's happening to that hose once you turn the tap on? It's going on being filled with the water. It's not filled and stopped. It's not that you have a cap on the end or a valve. I mean, you do, but nothing much happens then. It just gets rigid. It starts really flying around when you open that valve and the water starts flowing out. But every millisecond, that hose is going on being filled with water. And as Christians, what Paul is saying is, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, yes, you have, you know, you're connected to the tap, you've turned on the hose pipe, but it has to stay connected and it has to stay flowing all of the time. And that's the normal Christian life, as Watchman Nee says in his book. The normal Christian life is for people to be filled and going on being filled all of the time, as the Apostle Paul encouraged us to be. And so the Holy Spirit being filled isn't for us. We're the vessel that's being filled and the Holy Spirit is flowing through us constantly, but it has to go somewhere. If you keep the valve closed, you're just a stiff pipe, not useful for anything. It only becomes useful when you open the valve and the water flows and keeps on being filled. If the valve's closed, you're not keeping on being filled, you're just filled. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? No, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian who's going on being filled, you should say. because then the water can do what it was designed to do. It can get out and put out fires or water the lawn or wash the car or drench rioters or whatever it is you want to do with the water. But it has a function then. Yeah? There is a real purpose for the Holy Spirit flowing through you, just like the water through a hose pipe. He flows out so other people receive, not so that you feel good about being a spirit going on being filled Christian. Yeah, there used to be this divide back in the early days of the charismatic movement when you had Christians and spirit-filled Christians. And before that, in the evangelical revival, we had Christians and born-again Christians. We always find a way of qualifying to make some kind of category of a lesser Christian. You know, they're not born again and they're not spirit-filled. But actually, the Bible doesn't. It just says the normal Christian life is someone who is going on being filled, and that flow serves the community, serves those around us, serves the rest of the church. That's why in Corinthians 12 and 14, Paul talks about, you know, when everybody comes together, they've all got something because they were filled and going on being filled. It just flows out all the time. If you'd have gone to one of their meetings, you'd have been up to your neck in water as it flowed out from everybody, as it were. The Holy Spirit just cannot be contained if we're all going on being filled. So we're not sieves that leak. We're not, you know, hose pipes with a valve closed. We're not hose pipes which are just floppy and not connected to the source. We are people who are connected to the source. That's what Jesus died for, to connect us to the source. And having been connected to the source, the Holy Spirit goes on filling us. At any moment, therefore, the gifts of the Spirit, which I know you've done a series on the Spirit, at any moment, the gifts of the Spirit, God will give you one because that's necessary for that moment, for that person. I've always struggled with people who say, do you have the gift of healing? And you go, not at the moment, but I know that if somebody's sick, God will give it me if that's part of the plan. You can't say, you know, if somebody collapses with a heart attack right here and there, just not wishing that on anybody. But if somebody did, we can't go, oh, isn't it a shame? Nigel's not here. He's got the gift of healing. We should have had him here. But that's the way we kind of think. We compartmentalize everything. And we make everything quite technical. And just instead of just saying, we're the people of God. We're the body of Christ. We're people who are going on being filled with the Holy Spirit. But we have to be baptized in the Spirit to start with. We have to have that first filling that overflows and is perceptible to everyone around us. And I've met Christians say, oh yes, I think I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't really know. I got prayed for, but nothing happened. You think, well, then in that case, you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you may have been, because someone might have told you that to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, this and this happens. You know, you leap up, fall over, pray in tongues. That's not a sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the biggest scriptural reference is, the most frequent scriptural reference to being filled with the Holy Spirit, what the clearest symptom, if you like, of being filled with the Holy Spirit is in Scripture? No, before that even. No, even before that. Love. You know and are absolutely certain of the love of God for you, which overflows as the Holy Spirit flows out to love the world, going to all the world. And so when we talk about there being, you know, a significant thing. We've got a guy in the church we've come from who was a butcher, very practical guy, went through a horrible messy divorce, ended up coming to our church, got saved, and he came to one of these Holy Spirit days we had at the bottom of our garden, and he just sank back into the sofa with a big, big smile on his face. He was going through hell in his life at the time, and he just sat there for about an hour. He never spoke to anyone. No one spoke to him. In fact, I don't think we could have spoken to him. He was just caught up in the love of God. He just knew for the first time, really. Although he'd committed his life a few weeks before to Jesus, he knew absolutely the love of God at that point. In Ephesians 3:17, they experience the love of God. In Romans 5:5, they experience the love of God when the Holy Spirit comes. And so on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, some of them look like they're drunk and everything, and Peter has to defend that. But that group of cowering people who were hiding in the upper room get so filled with the love of God that they will face anything with the rest of their lives. And, you know, and the sort of mythology of it later on is that all the disciples went to their death apart from one for the gospel, because they so knew the love of God and they so wanted to see the flow of the Holy Spirit go out into the world and see all the world saved and all the world blessed and the Spirit of God to be once again over all the earth. You don't do that because I got the gift of tongues. You do it because you're filled with the love of God and you know, tangibly know, the love of God as much as you know the love of anyone that you've ever met who loves you. And I said about the couple that came to one of those evenings and they got filled with the Holy Spirit that night. And he came up to me afterwards. The guy's a theatre director and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Now I know. Now I know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I spent my whole life terrified of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But now I know the love of God for me." Within about 2 Sundays, he was prophesying at the front of the church, having been someone saying, "I don't like this prophecy." There's a problem, isn't it? You see, we're in this weird time of 2,000 years of the church. Just about 2,000 years today, isn't it? Some close on. But we're just a little bit over. Hang on, no, you're not quite there yet, are we? Because Jesus would have been third. We're about 10 years off, 2,000 years of the church. 2,000 years since the first Pentecost, or the first Christian Pentecost, as it were. And for that 2,000 years, there has been a problem in that we keep losing what we got. We keep mixing it up. We keep messing it up. And I was thinking how to describe this, really. And I thought, you know the Jungle Book, the story of Jungle Book, yeah. And you got Mowgli. Is it Mowgli or Moogly? I've never Mowgli. You sure? That's just not a black country way of saying Mowgli. Yes, Nigel and I are from the same area, so you'll get the same vowels. And Mowgli is in the jungle. He's never met a human being. He's raised by the animals. So there's no electric lighting. There's no, yeah. The only light comes from natural source, fire, lightning, and the rest of it. He's never seen any of those things. So if you imagine you've got a kid who's like that, he has no. And then one day he finds a tape recorder with a battery in it that some human has dropped, and the tape recorder is a story about electricity. So he presses this button, and whoa! That starts to be, they talk about this electricity that causes place to have lights, and it causes people to be able to hear music, and it causes people to be able to have machinery, and it causes all kinds of things. And he's listening to this, and he's understand. I don't know how he understands, but he seems to speak English in the film, so just, it's a parable, you know, not everything fits. But so suddenly he's hearing all of this about electricity and what it can do, but he has no concept of what it is, how it works, and how he can get electricity. He's living in the dark. He's living amongst animals. He's not really living amongst the community he was born for. You can liken that to being, you know, a non-Christian. You're not living the life you were born for. You're living amongst a heathen world, and you don't actually know yet. You're not born again yet. And then one day, people find this Mowgli, and they take him off to a village, and he meets people at last. He's born again. He's got people like him. He's born again into a new life, this village. And that's where an awful lot of people are. They get born again, and they suddenly they've got people like them, with people who belong to the kingdom of God. This is wonderful. And it's so different to living with panthers and bears and all the rest of it. But they have not got electricity either. And they don't really know what it is either. And he plays them the tape and they go, "Yeah, we've kind of heard of this. But we don't know what it is. And we don't know what it does. And we don't know how you get it." And then one day, people from the city come and they take Mowgli to the city. And there's lights and there's machinery and there's electricity everywhere doing all kinds of things. And at last, he sees that this is electricity. This is what it does. And it is so exciting and so wonderful. He still doesn't know how he gets it. He still doesn't know how you access this, but he's at last amongst people who have got it. And they show him gently, bit by bit, well, if you press that switch there, these lights come on. And if you slide that slider, then the PA works. And whatever it is the electricity is doing. And I think the church over the last 2,000 years, we've kind of got, for most of the church, that you've got to find the people like you. You've got to find the people you were born to be amongst. You've got to be born again into that community. We get that. We kind of know that there's the things of the Spirit that are out there, but we don't really know how to access those things. We don't get filled with the Spirit. And I've preached in many, many churches, Anglican, Methodist, all kinds of churches. And they'll sort of say, oh, you're a charismatic. Well, please don't bring any of that stuff here. We don't do that. And it's like being back in the village. You sort of read about it. You've heard it on the tape. But you don't. And the reason you don't want it usually is fear. Yeah. Or sometimes doubt. Sometimes inadequacy. I was preaching in my brother's church about a year or so ago, and it's an Anglican church, and the vicar was sort of saying, oh yes, well, I pray in tongues because I went to a New Frontiers church once and I learned how to. But we don't do that in the church. And you think, how sad. Why would we not want to connect the hose up, fill the hose, and let it do what it was meant to do? Instead, we do the things by our own graft, our own hard work, our own struggles, and we get smashed by it. See, when you do things, when it's allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you, it is so much easier. Everything becomes easier because you know the love of God in you. People can tread on you, spit at you, they can do vile things to you. But if you know the love of God constantly flowing through you, it doesn't matter. If it matters to you now, then honestly, I would say to you, get back filled with the Holy Spirit. Live a life being filled. Because that's all that matters. And if church, if we could be like that, you know, we wouldn't fall out with each other. You know, I've been in the heart of unity in the churches in Croydon. And I'm not worried whether somebody's a Roman Catholic or a Methodist or a Quaker or whatever they are. I'm really not worried. I'm sad that maybe they're not people who are filled with the Spirit. I'm sad sometimes that they're not people who believe Scripture as I believe it. But in the end, that's up to the Holy Spirit to do that work. And it's up to me to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So whatever splashes out on them is a blessing to them. I don't go and try and convict them. I don't go and say, you are wrong, Keith, in what you're doing. I just get filled with the Spirit, splash all over him, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. It's a lot easier. You can take off the judge's hat. You don't have to be the judge anymore. You don't have to be the person that says, oh, this person's lifestyle's terrible. What are we going to do about it? You just get filled with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit flow. And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to do things in people's life which isn't what we would like to do in people's life. We've got our list of things we'd like to change about people, haven't we? We do. Every single person, you think, well, he'd be nicer if he was more talkative. She'd be nicer if she'd shut her mouth. You know, whatever it is, we've got a list of things. There's no one here, of course. But when it's the Holy Spirit who flows, you can take the judge's hat off. And you can just be, everything that comes through you can be a blessing to them. And by that, I've had, as a church leader for the last 32 years, whatever, I have had lots of people come up to me and say, I'm saying this in love, brother. You know, they're not. And they're not saying it out the Holy Spirit. You know, people want to change you. I had one person come up to me, one of our elders actually in the church when I first got there, who said that Ruth and I had to grow our hair because people would think we were far too severe with crew cuts and that, you know, people wouldn't like us and that no Christian should have short hair like this. And you think, yeah. Take the judge's hat off and just get connected to the Holy Spirit. So, as I said, there's fear and inadequacy and doubt are the three things that kind of hold us back. Or it can be that we're Mowgli in the jungle. We're not yet moved to our people. We've not yet come in. We're not born again. And that's easy to deal with. You just give your life to Christ. You say, Jesus, I know that you died for me now. And I want to be in the community of light of the kingdom of God. And so I come to you now. I want you. I want to be connected to the Father. And you get connected. Your host pipe gets connected. And as Ali in Durham was saying, you know, for a lot of people, when they got connected, they also got filled with the Spirit because they were in charismatic churches. It was the expectancy that they would flow with the Spirit. Our daughter prayed the prayer of salvation. Was she five? Five, I think, when we were up in Scotland with the Air Force. And I think within a couple of years, she was praying in tongues and things. She can't remember ever not praying in tongues. She's 28 now, coming up. And so she's one of that generation. Some of you here might be where you've just always been in that. That's fine. I've got no problem with that. But we need to know that we're being filled. We need to know that we're constantly being filled. We need to know that, you know, I'm not a sieve that leaks. I'm constantly flowing with the power that comes out of that pipe for the blessing of others so that they will know the love of God. Not the judgment of Paul, but the love of God. I do not have to decide that they're worthy or not of being soaked. You know? People sometimes say, yeah, that couple's living together. They can't be filled with the Spirit. Oh, yes, they can. Let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Sorry, Nigel, if we don't like this. But okay, so Jesus speaks later on in Luke, you know, John the Baptist has said, sorry, I got the bit wrong at the beginning. John the Baptist has said that Jesus is going to come and you're going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then later on in Luke, Jesus has been on the scene for a while and he addresses the problems that people have with receiving the Spirit. And in Luke chapter 11, 9 to 13, Jesus says, this time it is Jesus because it's in red. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, the only qualification here is to ask. And it's lovely, when you read through the book of Acts, you find some people who are filled with the Spirit that aren't yet born again. That's a weird one. You find some people are born again, not filled with the Spirit. You find people in the Mowgli story, you know, who are in the village in darkness. You find people who are in all parts of that story. But in the end, we have to get to the place where the power is flowing through us. And Jesus says in this passage, in verse 9 and 10, you know, the question we have is, would God really give me his Holy Spirit? You know, I'm not the kind of person who I can see. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit in the way I'm talking about, then it's like, I've never been to the city. I don't know what the city is like. And some people have never been to the city. I don't like cities, but you know, in the story, for the purpose of the parable, We can't picture ourselves being filled with the Holy Spirit, or we can't picture ourselves speaking in tongues. The first time I ever heard someone speaking in tongues, it was a house group. I was a brand new Christian, and this RAF corporal, I was an officer, I was the most senior officer in the room at the time, so it's really embarrassing. I got all these airmen and things, and they're all sat there, and they're all on fire Christians. I'm a brand new Christian, and this corporal next to me is going, and I thought, where have I come? I said to the padre afterwards, this guy next to me is muttering some incantations. What's going on? And I couldn't ever imagine me wanting that. And so we can't see ourselves as people who could be filled with the Holy Spirit or have those kinds of gifts. But Jesus' answer is to that is ask. It's the Father who makes the decisions, not us. It's just ask. I've never known anyone who've asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit who hasn't been filled. They might have come away disappointed because they were expecting to fly around the room at that point or do something that church does. But I've never known anyone who hasn't known the love of God flood them at that point. And often you find people shake or they fall over or they weep or they get hot or they get cold or whatever. I was doing an Alpha course in Scotland in the Air Force when I was a chaplain in the Air Force. And we had a Spanish atheist from a Catholic family, but her father was an atheist, I think, and she didn't believe anything. And her husband was a Christian, he was a Jaguar pilot, and he wanted her to get saved, so he insisted she come on the Alpha course. And we did the Alpha course, and I got through about five weeks of it, and she was adamant, no, not for me, really. And then for some real weird reason, she came to the Holy Spirit Day, which we did in our dining room. We had about 15 people sat around the dining room, big dining room. In Scotland, you can buy a palace for 4 and 6. So we got this big house and sat around the dining room, around the walls. We're all on chairs. And I said, right, I'm just going to pray now for you all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And people, we had this RAF wing, squadron leader, wasn't he at the time, engineer, very logical, Irish Presbyterian. You know, not a charismatic, but born again sort of guy. And very logical, master's degree in physics, and he sat there, and he just, as the love of God came on him. This woman, this atheist, was sitting on a dining room chair, and she was like this, Paul! So I went to her, Alicia, wasn't it, I think her name was. I said, Alicia, you're right. She said, yes. I said, did you pray that prayer about asking the Holy Spirit to fill you? She said, yes! Help! And I put my hand on her, and she was on fire. I mean, she was burning up and shaking. And she hadn't made a commitment to Jesus at that point. But of course she had, because she'd asked him. She'd come to the point of realization, I can ask him. The one that has been described to me seems somebody I could ask this of. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was lovely. Her husband was very happy too. Anyway, so there's that doubt. But 6 times in that passage I just read, 6 times Jesus says, ask and you will receive. So if you're doubtful that you will receive, or if you've asked before and you think, I'm not really sure, just ask. And I promise you, you will receive the Holy Spirit. The second thing that puts people off is fear. We talked about this earlier. There's that fear of, you know, I don't want to be like that person that gets filled with the Spirit because they're weird. There's probably at least 6 of you in this church who are like that, you know. We just don't want to be like them. That Kelly. Jesus reassures them. There's nothing to be frightened of. You know, evil fathers give bad gifts to their children. When God gives the Holy Spirit to you, when you're baptized in the Spirit and filled and overflowing with the Spirit, it will be the Holy Spirit tailored exactly for you. Because he's part of the Creator. He's the one that knows you perfectly. You won't be someone who ends up doing and saying things that you feel embarrassed or regret doing and saying. You will not become me or Nigel or some. You will just be you filled with the Holy Spirit. So, fear, Jesus says, no, he's a good father. Our Father in heaven is a good father who gives good gifts to you. And the last one is that it comes entirely from us, inadequacy. I'm not good enough. I've not been a Christian long enough. I don't know enough. I'm not someone who could possibly receive and be like that. I'm not somebody who could prophesy. I'm not somebody who could pray for someone. I'm not somebody who could pray in tongues. I'm not somebody who could, whatever it is that you think because of you. You should have seen what I did last night, what I read yesterday, how many times a year I pray, not yet in double figures or whatever. You know, we tend to think as Christians that we are not up to this amazing presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And yet again, Jesus says, ask. How much more will you receive the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's great, isn't it? It's how are we? Yeah, it's the simplest thing. Asking. That's all we have to do. So we're going to do that in a moment. Yeah, nobody's going to lay hands on you unless you want that afterwards. I'm happy to pray for people. I'm sure the team here are happy to pray for you. But you're all just going to stand in a moment, and we're just going to hold out our hands, because holding hands is a good way. You don't have to wave them or anything. It's a good way of just being in that put something in my arms type of attitude. You can do it quite quietly if you're here. Just have a little hand like that. God knows you. How much more will you receive the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And it's not for selfish enjoyment, although there's a great deal of enjoyment. It's because we want to be the church of God, which is a blessing to Wrexham and to the world, to be connected to the power of God, to be going on being filled with the Holy Spirit, to be flooding the world with his Holy Spirit. You know, if we had time today, if you all gave up your afternoon, I would guarantee that those who pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you would all be prophesying by tea time. Guarantee you. Never known anybody not prophesy if they just get told where the light switch is. Or praying in tongues if they just get told where the button is. The trouble is that we're Christians who we've come out the jungle, we've gone to the village, we've heard about it, we kind of know about it, we've kind of experienced some bits of it, but we still think that it can't really be for me. And I promise you, it's all for you. It doesn't mean you'll be a prophet. It doesn't mean that you'll be somebody who... It just means you'll be you being flooded with the Holy Spirit pouring from you. And as Keith said earlier on, the passage, you know, Jesus promises, doesn't he, in John 7, I think it is, that those who come to him, streams of living water will pour from our very being. The word for being, or the core of our being that's used there, is koileos, the Greek word, and it means your belly button. The Holy Spirit will flow out your belly button. In other words, the very heart of you, the center of you, the Holy Spirit will flow from. That's Jesus' promise to you. So let's stand, if you would. If you can't stand or you don't want to stand, that's fine. You can stay sat. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I'm not going to come up and lick you or anything like that. I've got a cold. That would be horrible. It would be horrible anyway. And we're not going to make a big fuss of this. I just want to pray a prayer first, and then I'm going to pray a prayer which you can repeat. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit many times, pray it again, because we just want to be as full as possible and flowing with the Spirit. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are Trinity, that you are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that right from the beginning of time, you've been this wonderful dance together, this wonderful relationship that you have. I thank you, out of that love and that relationship, you created each person here. I thank you that you created us to receive you, to be connected to you. I thank you, Jesus, that your death on the cross was so that we could be reconnected to the one who made us. And right now, Lord, we know we need your Holy Spirit. We want more of you, and we just want you to flow through us and to be able to make us people who know the love of God fully and are fully prepared to love the world no matter what. We want this church, Lord, to be a church on this day of Pentecost, where the birthday of the church, Lord, that is a church, that is a people of God filled. We want to see Wrexham flooded by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have said that how much more will you give your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to those who ask. So we're asking now. So just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, would you now fill me with your Holy Spirit? Let me experience the wonderful love of God. And I commit myself to being a lover of the world. As your Spirit flows out into that world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good. Well, take a seat. If anybody would like prayer afterwards, there is in Scripture, some people receive because people lay hands on them. I'm very happy to lay hands on anyone. I don't think it's something you have to have. I think it's just something for some people. It's an extra thing that they, whatever God does in that person, it helps them. I remember praying once for, before I was a chaplain in the Air Force, I was air crew. We were RAF Cranwell. I was a flight commander at Cranwell. And we had a young girl in a choir we sang with, Gilbert and Sullivan Society. Great stuff it was. You can see me as Coco, can't you? So, that's not a drinking chocolate. That's a part in one of the... this young girl got saved and she wanted to be filled with the Spirit and to pray in tongues. She was desperate. She was about... How old? She was about 17. Oh, anyway. So I just said to her, just go into your room, get your Bible out. And her parents weren't Christians. So go into your room, get your Bible out and just ask God. And don't come out until you know he's done something. And I saw her about 2 weeks later. She said, I was in my room for about 4 hours. And then God just came in power and I was praying in tongues and this was happening and that was happening. So if you're someone like that, go home today. Just lock yourself in the toilet or something and just say, God, come. Don't let your feelings of doubt, inadequacy or fear stop you being filled and going on being filled with the Spirit today. Good. Thank you all.